Is Promise Keepers making a comeback? Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb. Right now our guest is Ken Harrison, who's involved in helping to revive the Promise Keepers movement. Their website, by the way, is promisekeepers.org. Mr. Harrison, welcome to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. I appreciate it.
Sure. Now, for those not familiar with Promise Keepers, it was quite a successful movement in the history of the church in the 1990s. There were gatherings in different places, even as large as 800,000 to 3.1 million men, basically promising to fulfill their role in the household and in society. So tell us about that, for those not familiar with Promise Keepers.
Yeah, it was basically a phenomenon that would really track the 90s. It started in 1990, and in its current form, it ended in around 1999. It was NFL stadiums sold out, full of men, the best speakers in the world. And so you had really intense, it was a Friday night and a Saturday, biblical teaching. And the one thing that you'll hear guys say over and over and over again is, you know, the feeling of hearing 70,000 guys singing together was just gives people chills. I had many, many older guys tell me that in tears.
Mm. Okay, and tell us about yourself and tell us about the plan to basically start this anew.
Well, myself, real quickly, I started off as a policeman in South Central Los Angeles on the LAPD and was there during all the gang fights and the Rodney King stuff.
Yeah.
And then left there and started a commercial real estate firm and grew it into a large firm, sold it to a large global company called Colliers International. And then I ran their valuation group for 6 years. And then basically left there to run a Christian foundation and just sort of retire at the old age of 45. and then called Promise Keepers to the fore. So I still run the Waterstone Foundation in Colorado Springs, and then Promise Keepers, because we just see the deep need in this country. There is just such a pent-up demand for strong biblical teaching. And, you know, we get hundreds of emails a week, as you could imagine. So many of those are from women who are heartbroken over the state of their marriage, their sons, their daughters. And when we get emails from women saying, who are my daughters going to marry?
Mm.
And you look at the problem with young men in this country today, because they haven't even been taught the basics of a Christian foundational belief. And so Promise Keepers, we're going to bring it back. We're going to challenge 82,000 men in Dallas Cowboys Stadium next July 31st and August 1st will be our first event back.
Wow.
Hey, here's what God's Word says. These are the best speakers in the world, and we're going to pray together, sing together, and challenge men on some pretty specific things. And one of the things that's going to be new and I think rough but also liberating on guys is we're going to take on abortion in a huge way. So many men have been responsible for abortions, and there's been no healing and no repentance. And it ranges all the way from men who have thrown $300 at a woman and said, go take care of that problem, to guys who have had their wives or girlfriends go have an abortion against their will, but they found they had no say, and it's emasculating. And we want to call guys back and say, we need to stand up for life. It's not a political issue. It is intrinsic in who we are as men to protect those who can't protect themselves. And there's no one more vulnerable than the homeless, I mean, than the unborn. So what can we do to help them? And also, if we've been responsible for that in the past, how can we repent? How can we find healing around that issue?
Interesting. Do you think there's any link between your background as a police officer in Los Angeles around the time of the Rodney King riots and so forth, 1992, and what you are feeling God is calling you to, you know, in this present time?
Mm, yeah, for sure. You know, what you get when you see, so South Central Los Angeles, for those who don't know, it's the Compton, the Watts area. It's, you know, when you think of the huge high crime area, that's it.
Inglewood.
And what, yeah, we used to, the Lakers used to play in Inglewood, which is bordered that area. And after the Lakers games, we used to patrol the area looking for people who got lost and got themselves in a lot of trouble and helped them on the freeway and get home. And so many people we'd pull over and they said, I never thought I'd be so happy to be pulled over by a police officer. But
wow.
10 o'clock at night after a Laker game in the wrong neighborhood. But, yeah, a strong sense of justice. And we're losing that. And we see in Scripture that when a society really becomes evil, one of the first things to go is justice. People begin to persecute those who've done nothing wrong, and they begin to forgive and make excuses for the wicked and the evil. Mm. And it comes from a cowardice in men. And so we see that we need to call men back to the Word of God, to teaching their sons and daughters the Word of God, so that we can arrest this downward slide. I mean, we can argue and complain about politics all we want, but politics are simply an outlier of the hearts of the people. Mm-hmm. And unless and until we change hearts of men, we're not going to change this country. The good news is, if we can change the hearts of men, and I do believe there's such a hunger in the Christian men and women for the Word of God today because there's so lack of it and it's showing up, that it's not a hard solution. We change the hearts of men back to the Word of God, we'll change this country in a hurry.
Hmm. Yeah, that's an interesting point because obviously the breakdown of society gets back to ultimately the breakdown of family and the abdication of a lot of men and the emasculation of a lot of men, and you know, all these different things contribute to the breakdown of the family in big ways.
That's right. And the last thing is, I know this is really hard for Christians to hear, but we're going to talk about the hard things. The prevalence of pornography is what's really, it's not the root. Sin is the root, sinful nature, but it is a strong, strong part of what's causing a decline, because when a man is caught up in that nonsense, it's impossible for him to make his wife feel like she's truly cherished. Mm-hmm. It's impossible for him to really teach his daughter the value of who she is and the weight for what she has to offer to her husband. It's impossible for him to teach his son self-control because there's an inward guilt that we feel, and we won't stand up, be courageous and bold for God's word because we ourselves feel diseased. We need to get men, you know, I say this all the time when I was running companies, it's not that people can't see the solution, it's that they can't see the problem. We have got to explain to men that pornography is destroying them, it's destroying their families, it's destroying the church. And you can all day long vote for who you want, run around, jump up and down, scream, argue politics. If you're looking at pornography, you're part of the problem, and you need to repent. And however that is for you, lots of men have lots of trauma. You maybe need counseling, you need all those things, but whatever it is that you need, get it and stop, because your family's counting on you to be pure in your mind and your heart, and follow the Lord and teach them God's word.
All right, now let me ask you this. Since Promise Keepers was so successful in the 1990s, I mean, it was a phenomenon. It really was. What killed it? I mean, it's almost as if the plug was just pulled, boom, and the whole thing just died. You know, it's like, where did that go? And it's missed now that we talk about this. You know, I forgot about that. I mean, I went to some of those events.
Man, I mean, candidly, Promise Keepers, when it was really up and coming, it was a mess, and it was a mess of the Holy Spirit. It was a delightful, beautiful, awesome mess. And I hear the stories of these huge events they're putting on at Soldier Field or the Silver Dome or whatever. And it was amazing how little guys really knew what they were doing. God was in control, and there was this awesome moment for guys, as you remember at those events, the repentance and the guys coming to salvation. The problem was, as time went on, men do what men do. Men meaning people, they got control of it, and they started to give it structure, and they started to really get all about money and this and that, and it just lost its way. I mean, the Holy Spirit just got organized out of it and scripted out of it. And so hopefully we'll have another delightful, beautiful mess at next summer at AT&T Stadium.
Wow. Well, one of the things that I had heard that just kind of killed it was that they did charge people the prices because, you know, it costs a lot of money to rent out the stadiums, to, you know, coordinate all those things, get all those great speakers, etc. And then they had this idea, well, let's not charge anybody anything. We'll just take a love offering to cover the costs. And unfortunately, the donations were not, you know, large enough to cover everything. So it just financially died, like, right, basically, you know, overnight, because the money wasn't there.
That's right. So 1997, October, is the biggest gathering in the history of Washington, D.C. Promise Keepers, it was called Stand in the Gap. 1.4 million men gathered together. And by the way, when they left that mall, there was not a gum wrapper left on the ground.
Oh,
you have all these
praise
groups
God
to get together. Yeah, and they have, there's tons, you know, Save the Whales or whoever gets together, and they leave tons of trash.
Yeah.
When Promise Keepers left, they left it cleaner than when they showed up. But in that event, Coach McCartney, who started Promise Keepers, he's still doing great. He's a good friend of mine. Announced that we weren't going to charge for events anymore. And he thought, he had talked to Billy Graham, who never charged, but it was a different model, what Billy Graham was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so he thought it would work, and it didn't. And the problem for men is they don't value what they don't pay for. And so what would happen was they would have an event at, you know, RCA Stadium in Indianapolis, and they would put out the tickets for free, and 80, you know, the guys would snatch up all the tickets, and then half the guys wouldn't show up. Because once they didn't have to have an investment of $100 per ticket or whatever, it was like, eh, maybe I'll do something else. And that really was what killed Promise Keepers.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. And by the way, going back to the Billy Graham model, I'm sure Billy Graham had some sort of partners that came alongside that would underwrite the costs of these crusades. I mean, the ministry takes money. I mean, it just does. And so you got to have a model that's going to bring in that money. But that's a good point about if they had no skin in the game, then they don't value it, and then they just, you know, who cares?
That's right. That's who men, that's what, the way men think. It's really a tragedy. But if we didn't think the best way was to charge men, we wouldn't charge. So tickets are, I don't even know what the tickets are exactly, because we have different levels. I know that for vets and first responders, obviously, because cops are close to my heart, the tickets are only $60. I think for the general public, they're like $100. And then if you bring family, they discount from there.
Sure.
But we could raise the money. There's so many wealthy people in this country. The event costs, you know, $5, $6 million to put on this huge production. There's lots of people who'd pay for that. But we've instead said, men come, because one of the ways you bless people is you go to your neighbor and you say, hey, we're going to Promise Keepers. I bought you a ticket for $100. Now your neighbor feels blessed and he wants to come. I think sometimes I get free. I don't take any salary from Promise Keepers. I take zero pay because I feel convicted that way from the Lord. But we sometimes we get too caught up in Christendom and some of these small issues. We charge a Promise Keepers four tickets so that men can feel like I've got skin in the game. I've got a part of the process, and I can
good.
I can bless my neighbor or my sons or my brothers by saying, hey, I just laid out $500 for tickets. We're going. And I think that says something.
Excellent. All right. And that's next summer. And we have about a minute left. I understand you've written a book. Why don't you tell us the name and why we should get this book?
Rise of the Servant Kings. You can get it at Amazon or everywhere else. It came out through Multnomah Waterbrook. Rise of the Servants to Kings.com. You can download two free chapters or the study guide that the publisher had written for it. Why should you get it? It's written for men. It's a discipleship book. It's short chapters with very intense cop stories in it. The publisher said to me, you know, we feel like we should put a warning label on this because Christian books aren't written this way. This is such an intense book. A lot of really good friends have endorsed it, from Evander Holyfield to Oz Guinness and several well-known pastors. I think that men will read it. They'll find it a really entertaining and intense read. And by the way, I've had a lot of people tell me, a lot of women have said the book really blessed them. It's really not just for women. It's kind of a discipleship dressed up in macho men's clothes.
Huh.
So I think it'll be entertaining for guys and hold their interest.
Excellent. Rise of the Servant Kings.com for more information. Also, PromiseKeepers.org. Ken Harrison, thanks so much for being with us. God bless you.
Hey, I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you now. Bye-bye.